Well, this morning, I'm genuinely excited to have Trixie Zimmerman with us. She is related to the Zimmerman clan. That's part of our church here. But my first time meeting Trixie, she's a member and serves at Gateway, our sponsor church, and she was the producer of the service. And I was the guest preacher, and she said, you have 30 minutes. I took 37. So for the next service, she brought out a ginormous clock and put it at the back. And I was tempted to do that on the screen, but I told, like, God's been working in her heart and preparing a message to share with us. And what I truly love about Trixie is every time I've met you, whether it's just running into you at the store or at the Gateway office while I'm printing out stuff there, you just have a genuine passion for people and for Jesus and to see those two connect and come together. So Trixie, come on up. Let me pray for you and then preach the word.
Thanks. Thank you for that warm welcome. I might not have to stand up here. I'm not that short. Your clock is so small.
Yeah,
Kevin.
That's true, and it blends into the background. But here, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Trixie. I thank you for her heart, for what you've done in her life and continue to do. And God, I just pray that this morning she falls to the background, yes, and that your presence is made known and is visible on this stage. God, speak to us, make yourself alive and real, and help us encounter you in new and fresh ways. God, fill her with your spirit, and may we all be changed through what she has to share. We ask this in Christ's powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for that warm welcome. Would you call that a warm welcome? It's more like one of those embarrassing welcomes, you know, like, so it's your time. You can start flagging, you can just start throwing water at me when it's time. You can, you know, say, hey, too long. Anyway, thanks for having me, the well. It's awesome to be here. You know, I like us all to just get out of our seats a little bit. If you don't mind, stand up. And please greet the person next to you. Say, welcome to the house of the Lord today. I'm so glad to be here and to be welcomed in the space. You can have a seat. And thank you for serving your community. You know what, Bimbrook is growing. It's a growing place. And my husband and I actually have a history here. We actually have deep roots here. I don't know if they wanted to be called out, but we're related to some Zimmermans here. After today, they might be like, we don't know that woman. That's a strange woman. But yeah, so we used to own a little car dealership on Highway 56 there, where the old Wills bus line was. And we were here for many years, and then we kind of transitioned to Caledonia, and we started an RV business. But, like, my husband went to school here. He grew up, like, the old Belmore, then, I don't know, that went to grade 8 or something like that, and then he went to OP, and then years later, after we were married, my son actually went to the old Belmore, and then the new Belmore, and he went on to HDCH over on Garner. But I remember walking every single day after school, we'd pick him up from the old Belmore, we'd walk back to the car lot, which was the Wills bus line, danger, Highway 56, and then we'd walk up to the library, the old library, not the new library, and just spend time there. And so, yeah, I have a real love for this community for sure. So as I mentioned, my husband and I transferred into RV sales. And if you, like, has anyone ever traveled in one of these? So, okay, so we do Class B vans. They're all a little bit different. Some have sky bunks. Some have, like, a little pop top where you can, like, I guess it's called a sky bunk, right? Yeah, so a little pop top, some have like a mid bath, a rear bath, twin beds, single beds, like every shape and size, every configuration, a little bit like people. But when you're driving them back, there's a lot of factors to take into your route. Like, we pick up a lot of vans in Florida, right? So when you're driving, you pick it up and you're long flight and the whole bit, and you're driving, and then you're driving up the I-95 there through South Georgia, kind of the Carolinas, and there's just this, like, whipping wind sometimes that comes off the ocean, and is, you know, it can be thunder showers and it can be rain and just all of a sudden visibility, everybody's turning their four ways on, it just kind of happens. And then you go up into the mountains of West Virginia, and if it's the winter, and we often go in the winter, you just never know what you're gonna get. You get on up on the mountain there, one time, got a little stuck, started to slide backwards. It's not okay, not okay. It was probably one of the scariest bits I've had. But you know, like whenever you start out, you're in Florida, it's sunny, especially if it's winter, you're like, yes. And you start out like this, right? Kind of lean back a little, slouched in your seat, get one hand on the wheel. And then this thunderstorm rolls in and your visibility goes down to zero. Second hand's on the wheel. And you're just kind of like, yes. And then it rains harder. And then now you're like this. So you're just trying to see into the distance because you can't see except for those four-way flashers from the next car. Before you even realize that your grip on the steering wheel is like, it's like this. It's like a white knuckle. You know, like if your hands aren't clenched already, I just want you to put them in front of you. I want you to clench them as hard as you can. And you probably see these little white knuckles start. You know, and sometimes life feels like this. The wind is pushing you in all directions. The rain is coming down. You're just like, please, Lord. Like, I just got to hold on. If you kind of look at your clenched hands right now, there's no room inside to receive anything. There's just no room inside to receive. So unclench your hands. And today's Bible reading is from 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. White knuckle living shows up when fear takes over. It appears when we hold on too tightly to the things that we want to control. Things we were afraid to surrender. It's like outcomes, opinions of others, security. You know, how often do we try to control a situation? Because we are afraid of looking bad, maybe, in front of somebody else. You know, like, hey, my child, sit still, we're in church, be quiet. You know, or maybe it's like trying out for a team and you just want all the other kids to like your kid, you know, so maybe that'll help them. Or maybe it's a medical diagnosis. You know, you want to go into the doctor and you want to say, no, I do not have cancer. No, it has not come back. And all these anxieties, they just pile up. And soon we're like this. And these things matter to us. But when we grip them too tightly, they begin to control us instead. Right? Control actually becomes an idol. Worry becomes normal. Anxiety becomes familiar. And peace, it is very distant. God's not asking us to stop caring. He's not. He cares for us. Instead, he knows us fully. And he invites us to release these things that we were never meant to carry. You can unclench your hands and receive rest. Let go of your fear and receive rest from Jesus. Even this posture of having clenched fists, you know, I like to call it a hand posture. Unclench your hands so you can receive rest from the only one who can provide it. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So how can you find rest in Jesus? Letting go sounds simple, right? Like, oh yeah, just open my hands. But most of us don't hold on because we want control for control's sake. Like we're not naturally, well, most of us anyway, are not naturally born control freaks. For the clock instance, maybe I am. But we want things to turn out, right? We want them to turn out well because we care. We want to protect what matters. We feel it's our responsibility. None of us intend to start this white-knuckle life with Jesus, right? We don't intend to hold on so tightly that we can't even let it go. If you think back, if it's like a certain moment, the moment when you first believed and you had this childlike faith, many of you had a posture like this, Lord, take everything I have. It's yours. And then life goes on, and troubles start. Jobs, medical, school, kids. And slowly but surely, we start to tense up. Caring turns into exhaustion, anxiety, and fear. Jesus says, come to me. Very fitting, right? This is the whole series that you're in. He says, come to me and know the Father. Come to the cross. Stop striving and start abiding. I mean, if you were to reflect on this past week, just this past week, and we weren't at General Assembly where we're worshiping 24/7, you know, where would you have turned in your moment of anxiety? Because we all have them. I can tell you my life was a little stressful this week, and I didn't open up my word. That wasn't the first place that I went. Come to the cross, stop striving, and start abiding. Spend intentional time with Jesus. Fill your mind with thoughts of him, and the fear will ebb away. In his word, you will find encouragement. You'll find wisdom for God's plan. In his word, you will find a piece of his heart for you. In this passage, Peter is speaking to both younger and older, the leaders and followers, an entire community, right? He's not just talking to one of the leaders, or hey, you elder, or hey, young people, do this. He's talking to an entire community. This entire community he's speaking to, they had the same anxieties that we do, you know, anxieties to provide for their families, you know, learn to follow God's word and wisdom. All these anxieties, and they just translate for us modernly. You know, we have these calendars full of events. We have advanced medical diagnosis. We have stresses of how am I going to put food on the table? How am I going to pay for my kids' baseball? How am I going to spend those dollars and give them too? But that community and our community, we are being directed. We're being guided. We are implored to be humble and waiting. The mighty God will exalt his people at the right time. But in the meanwhile, tether yourself to Jesus. You know, when your white knuckling hands are gripped so tightly and you're trying to control your life, your hands are starting to ache. And you say, Lord, I can't release this to you, because if I release this to you, I lose all this control and something might happen. That's fear. And the Lord is so gracious, he won't pry your hands open, right? He's not going to take your hand and rip it open. He's just going to wait for you. But if you look at your clenched fists, this hand posture, not only can you not receive anything, it is impossible to hold anyone's hand. Tether yourself to Jesus so that in these moments of great anxiety, you can hold out your hand and Jesus will grab it, and his grip is firm and his grip is true. Receive a posture where you can receive Jesus. To echo the sentiment in verse 2 of this verse, not because you must, don't open your hands because you must, because someone is prying it open, but because you are willing. You're willing. So the other thing is cast, it's a verb, right? It's not like we're just sitting around holding hands, singing kumbaya. Like, this is a verb. We are active in our lives. Cast all your anxiety on him. It doesn't always come from internal factors. Sometimes it's external. Sometimes it's a medical diagnosis. Sometimes it's the wind pushing us. And we just don't know. When our minds are tired, fear is an easy time of speaking loudly. These voices feel convincing, especially when we're worn down. More than that, in these times of feeling worn down, we need to know by rote what action to take. We need to know, open my hands, hold on to Jesus, receive the peace and rest that the Lord is offering. Release your burden to him. So this word cast, it's actually an action word of vigor. In the Greek, it is apiripto. My Greek is pretty not great. Apiripto is to fling or to hurl, to be active. Fling that anxiety, maybe over and over. Hurl what causes us fear. And it's not going into this black void or throwing it like a boomerang where it's going to come right back to us. cast your anxieties on him. You are throwing them to Jesus, and he is catching them with the tender, loving care. As much as you care for it, he cares. He will bear your burdens, and he will give you rest. Finally, there is rest when we come to him in our chaotic thoughts. Right? Everybody knows this one. Take captive your every thought. 2 Corinthians 10:5. I want you to hear this third action, because when we take captive every thought, we will find our rest in Jesus. In the anxiety, in the chaos, the thoughts that spiral, the ones that are irrational, the ones that don't even make sense, the mockery, the lies, take them captive. Sometimes anxiety feels a little self-inflicted, right? This is our mind that Jesus created. Take captive every thought, and he instructs us to do so. So if you didn't know already, I host a podcast called Testify. It's this non-profit platform for people to share how they know that Jesus is real. Not for us, not for anything we do, but I believe it's biblical. And it just gives people a platform, regular people, to say, yes, I know Jesus is real. I'll be like the disciples, and I will tell you why. And a couple months ago, please subscribe. We'd appreciate your support. A couple months ago, I had the chance to sit down with Sydney, a young woman, wise beyond her years. And she gives some great advice on how to take these self-inflicted thoughts and how to give you some action for that. So let's take a look.
I think across the board from people I've talked to, Christian and non-Christian girls, it's been a lot about body image.
Okay.
It's been a lot of pressures about how do you look, how you do your hair, what you eat, what you say, what you don't say, how you portray yourself, you know. It's literally all about taking photos of yourself 24/7.
Yeah.
And you feel like you need to constantly look a certain way.
Right.
Not really impacted, at least speaking personally, how I viewed myself. And you know, I grew up kind of always feeling insecure about my body, but never really knowing why. There's a constant temptation to dwell on those insecurities and those thoughts. And I've learned that, like, through the power of even just speaking like Bible verses over myself or biblical truths and praying, it's helped. So I remember feeling quite down, just like about myself and how I looked about 2 years ago. And I just said, like, I'm sick of this. Like, I'm tired. And I took sticky notes and I wrote about 20, just little biblical truths. And I taped them to my mirror. And every day when, you know, I get dressed for the day, I force myself to look at those. And at the same time I'm looking at those truths, I'm also looking at myself.
Yeah.
And that's really helped, to start kind of heal that part of myself, but that's a journey.
Such a wise young woman, right? Where else would you want to be except this place of infinite peace at the foot of the cross? This is a place of infinite rest where the Father cares for you and he ministers to you and he sends his Holy Spirit to help you. The Holy Spirit lives in us because we are the temple. If you're sitting here this morning for the first time, or maybe the 10th time, and you don't know this place of infinite peace, well, let me share with you. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus, a man, came down to this earth, and he died for us so that we can be reconciled with the Father. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And through his name, we can repent, and we can receive this relationship with the Father. Because on our behalf, he reconciled it with us. And we can experience this infinite peace, this infinite joy, the care of the Father through him alone. His sacrifice is free. You just only have to accept him. Accept him as your person. In whom your sins are forgiven and you have eternal life. But through all this action that I talk about, you know, opening your hands, resting, casting, all of these things. This has never been a guilt process because it's not an I alone process. It's not an I alone action. From the very beginning, God has been the steady one, not us. You can unclench your hands, let go of your fear, and receive rest from Jesus, because from the beginning, it was God all along. And he starts and finishes. He starts and then he finishes. Fear can be overwhelming, right? Our faith is inconsistent at times. Our white knuckle grasp can loosen, then life feels easier, and then all of a sudden, it's tighter. I just want you to hear this. Our rest doesn't come from control, it comes from the cross. If we are a believer in Jesus, our rest comes from the cross. That is the only place you will experience true peace. Because by the time we reach the end of ourselves, we often discover something quietly reassuring. We were never the ones holding everything together. He sustains us. He finishes what he starts. I mean, if you think about it, in the Old Testament, from the very beginning, from creation in Genesis 1 to the fall of man in Genesis 3, from that moment, he is trying to reconcile relationship with us. And then he sends his son, Jesus. And in John 19, Jesus says, it is finished. And 3 days later, he rises again so that we, you and I, could have eternal life with him. I cannot stress how important this is, how my heart bleeds for people who don't know Jesus. He's our Savior, and God finishes what he starts. You know, at the beginning of this talk, I kind of talked about this RV road, right? Driving along the RV road, and there's all these bumps and storms and things that can happen. But I would never have set out on that journey, on that road, if I didn't know the road was secure, and it was firm, and it would get me exactly where I need to go. So let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for blessing this people here. Lord, I pray that in their hearts right now, you would speak truth, that you would speak life, that they would know you in a way that is renewed and fresh, that they would bring their fears and anxieties to the cross and they would lay them at the feet of Jesus, that they would open up their hands and they would know that you are God. Lord, there might be someone here and they need to re-renew this relationship with you, or maybe they don't know you, and praise God they have come to know you in this moment, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit on these people. I pray a blessing over them, Lord. Thank you for them. In the name of our King, Jesus, amen. I just wanted to add to, you know what, if you're feeling a nudge in your heart and you got something and you're like, oh, I have trouble releasing this, come to the front. There are people who want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. It would be my honor. You know, maybe you just came to know Jesus. Tell me about it. I would be like dancing in the streets. You know, but come to the front. Receive prayer. Receive what Jesus wants for our lives. Thanks.